And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is a walk through the mind. A moment where we can sit back, hang out, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take these talking points and go out and share them and just get the conversation started with friends, family, or people we meet on the streets. And today, I'd like to talk about what we do when we have a stressful day at work. You know, you have a rough day at work and you come home and you got to unwind, you got to unplug or whatnot. You just got to let the stresses of the day melt off you. And the inspiration for this story, this thought process, a Seattle police officer recently got fired for smoking pot, smoking marijuana, off the clock. He was not getting high in his cruiser. He was not getting high before work. He was going home, smoking a joint or whatever after he got home. He then went to rehab. Found out he had depression and PTSD, and when he came back, he reported that he had gone to rehab for marijuana and was fired. Now, that, you know, we can understand that we don't want police officers, mostly, but most people, we don't want them being inebriated at work, on the job. And I guess we can understand that because marijuana is a Schedule I drug. We cannot allow officers, people that are there to enforce the laws, to be breaking federal law. Now, marijuana, under the DEA scheduling, is a Schedule I drug. According to the definition, Schedule I drugs, substances or chemicals as defined as drugs with no currently accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. Other examples of Schedule I drugs are heroin, LSD, ecstasy, and peyote. And we can go through it. I don't want to go through and read all of them, but Schedule II are, you know, high potential for abuse, but they've got some medical use to them, so they're not going to be, you just got to watch them a little bit more. You know, stuff like Vicodin, cocaine, methamphetamines, methadone, Oxycontin, fentanyl, Adderall, and Ritalin are all Schedule II drugs. Schedule III, a little bit less potential for abuse. You know, Schedule IV, even lower. And Schedule V, you know, that's your basic over-the-counter stuff. And at the bottom of this list, there's a full alphabetical listing for controlled substances. Now, in this full-on list of controlled substances, I was amazed not to find alcohol, beer, vodka, rum. I didn't find nicotine. Now, how are those not considered controlled substances? Maybe, you know, they've got their own special class. But how many people do we know after work go to the bar, hang out with friends, have a drink or two? How many people go home, have a beer, have a glass of wine? Just enough to unwind, take the pressures off the day, to unplug. I come home from work. I enjoy a beer. Doesn't mean I'm going home getting hammered, but I like a beer. I'm not going to go drive my car afterwards, but feel I'm a responsible adult. Should be allowed to do these things. I'm not harming anyone. And we can go back and we can look at the Hearst decision. The guy who was printing paper back in the day, starting up newspaper companies, and he was worried about the competition of the hemp plant. So he put out that propaganda to make hemp illegal, which made marijuana illegal. And then you can look at the 60s and 70s with the explosion, more or less, of the drug market, of the use of drugs. Just finished a book called Laurel Canyon that went into talking about the neighborhood down in California where a collection of artists from the late 60s into the 70s, and it went into a lot of what was going on with the drugs there. And you had the happy, flowery people kind of embracing everything, And there was a lot of pot smoking then. And according to the book, the story, it wasn't very crime filled up until cocaine came along. Where does, is marijuana able to be abused? Maybe you sit there and you go, I'm bored and I'm going to keep being bored until I'll smoke another joint. But what about people like Joe Rogan? He regularly gets high on his podcast. He seems to be rather fluent for the most part up until he starts getting off the rails. But I mean, how you drink 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 bourbons or whatever, you start trying to walk a straight line. I would assume that you smoke enough pot, you may not be able to walk a straight line. But as Brupa is famous of saying, the only way you're going to die from marijuana is if you get a pallet of it dropped on you from a helicopter. Because you need the LD50, the lethal dose is like 1,500 pounds or something. But again, I'm not a scientist or a doctor. I don't know any of these things for facts, and I'm sure everyone else out here has a base idea. But what if smoking pot challenges the paradigm, your paradigm, the idea that things aren't necessarily what they are to be, they are to seem. Now I'm going to play a clip in here. Got some explicit use in it, but that's okay. It's here to prove a point. And this is Bill Hicks.
I think drugs have done some good things for us. I really do. And if you don't believe drugs have done good things for us, do me a favor. Go home tonight, take all your albums, all your tapes, and all your CDs and burn them. Because you know what? The musicians who made all that great music that's enhanced your lives throughout the years, real fucking high on drugs.
And that's what I'm talking about. The challenging of a paradigm, the experience. It doesn't necessarily have to be just marijuana. I'm sure there's been plenty of music created under heroin and cocaine and whatever else, LSD. But something to expand the mind, something to challenge the thought process. Now, again, I live here in a legal state, but I'm kind of in a similar situation as the Seattle police officer. I'm not allowed to. It's illegal for me to imbibe in marijuana or anything on the controlled substances list. And that's okay. That's part of what I signed up for. I have to accept my fate on that. But again, it was off the clock. It was on his own time. He's not showing up inebriated. And just kind of bugs me that things that you do in your off time can affect you on your regular time. Now, again, maybe it's because he said he went to rehab. I don't want to call it a story, but the allegory, something along those lines, is that people that are who are addicted to heroin are some of the most reliable employees because they have a habit that they need to sustain. They need to, because it's a physical addiction, something that they absolutely need to continue with. And so they will show up to work. They may not have any money to spend outside of their addiction, but if they don't continue their addiction, the withdrawals, I understand, are nasty. Another clip I'd like to play. Again, got a little bit of explicits in there. But I feel, again, it kind of shows the idea of what the difference is between the quote-unquote addiction of marijuana is compared to the addiction of other drugs. And in this case, cocaine from the movie Half-Baked.
My name is Thurgood.
Hi, Thurgood.
Hi. I'm here today because I'm addicted to marijuana.
You in here for some marijuana? Marijuana? Man, this is some bullshit.
Marijuana is not a drug. I used to suck dick for coke.
I seen them.
Now that's an addiction, man. You ever suck some dick for marijuana?
Huh?
No, I can't say I have.
I didn't think so.
Boo this man!
Now that's again Half-Baked. That's when one of the characters in the show, in the movie, feels that he is addicted to marijuana. Now, I feel that's a good enough answer for or good enough talking point, I guess. That character in the movie Half-Baked, he would smoke religiously any time of the day he got the chance to. Kind of feel that in his case, he wanted help. He needed help. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, if you feel that you're out of control with something, you actually need to find a way to get your habits under control. You know, there is AA, there is NA. There are means to go out, share, and gather your thoughts and put yourself into the right place and get yourself on the correct walking path. But again, that scene is kind of funny because, again, under my menialistic understanding, that marijuana is a mentally addictive drug and not a physically addictive drug. The way that the book Laurel Canyon would talk about people using coke was the incredible body high that it gave you, that you would want to do more and more, and you would just look forward to doing it the next time. And again, the heroin aspect of the things where, you know, if you don't take it, you have withdrawals. Now, again, you know, this all is off the clock. If you're taking stuff on the clock, if you're getting high at work, maybe you do need to go to NA just for smoking pot. Maybe you don't. I don't know. Again, we go back to what Bill Hicks said, and maybe if your job is being an artist, that makes you flow better. Does your office place accept that? If your office place is your own home in the back corner where no one can see you or smell you, that's where you want to do your painting, then I guess in all means, go for it. But if you're at a bank, if you're a police officer, you got to be making kind of snap judgments. That's a $10 bill, not a $100 bill, or vice versa for the bank aspect. You know, everybody's got to be responsible. But I will question this Schedule 1 aspect of the marijuana thing. Does it need to be there? I mean, heck, Oxycontin, and we know how damaging that is. Oxycontin and heroin, what's the freaking difference? One, you either snort or plug into your arm. The other one is, oh, it's just a pill, so it's okay. One is used for pleasure, and one is used for quote-unquote pain up until you are done with the pain. Or maybe you're not. Maybe you are absolutely required to take Oxycontin. I've heard a handful of stories about people being permanently under disability and permanent pain. And Oxycontin helps them, but that's between a rock and a hard place. But I don't know. Again, these are all just talking points. It just all feels kind of jarbled to me today, trying to figure out where we need to go with this. We heard not too long ago that the DEA was considering getting rid of the marijuana as a Schedule 1, and then they said, no, we will lose too much money. I think we all need to probably write in, though. Tell them to knock that thing. If alcohol and nicotine aren't on the controlled substances list, why is this one? I see a lot of people out in Seattle smoking pot. Some of them begging for change only because they're poor with money management. But we got a lot of artists out here. We have a lot of artists. I don't know. Don't go to work inebriated. Don't lose your job because of it. If you're going to go to rehab, I wish you luck. Again, talking points. We got no answers. Just ideas, thoughts. It's just a walk through the mind. I'm Billy Bones, BILLYBON, the number 3S. Got a website, billybones.com. You can find me on Twitter as well, at Billy Bones. If you go to the website, it's not HTTPS, I'm sorry. But you can go there. You can find the Discord server. You can find my email. And if you found any value out of this episode or any of the other ones, You're welcome to donate. There's a value for value button in there. Only value I care about, if you're willing to, give the episode a share. But if you found any value, again, you're welcome to donate. I'll talk to y'all next week. I love you guys.